Today's shir is Masechta Chayrius Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Amar B'chi Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Menayin Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Afila Schar Sichano. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exact in bringing us good in the world and paying us for whatever we do right. And even if somebody just said something which is appropriate to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't hold us back, won't hold back from rewarding for that. Mehacha, from here, as we discussed at the end of our previous year, the Benois Light, the daughters of Light, had relations with their father. Their thinking was that the world was completely destroyed. And since the world was completely destroyed, they need to be the ones to repopulate the world after what happened in Stein. And therefore, they had relations with their father. The Ila Bechira, the Karya Mayav, the older daughter who called her son, who was born from her father, Mayav, and therefore was public in what happened here, how he was born. Amalei Rachman Ala Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, as Klal Yisrael was entering Eretz Yisrael, Al Totzer Smav Al Tizgba Melchama. He told them, don't hold war with Melchama, and with Mayav. And if we look at the wording of the Pasuk, what the Pasuk is teaching us is, Melchama Hu Deloi. We shouldn't hold battle with them. Hatzari Tzarinu, to cause them anguish, would be permissible. However, says the Gemara, Vila Atzira, when we speak about the younger daughter, the Karye Ben Ami, that used a much nicer wording when it came to speaking about this child. She wasn't so explicit that this child was born from her father. Amalei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, much stronger, Atotzirem Valtizgabam, don't in any way have any battle with them, Klal, but Filut Sureloi, not even in the slightest way should you cause them any danger. Amar Rabbi Chibar Abba, cause them any anguish. Amar Chibar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Loilam Yagdim Ludva Mitzvah. However, on the other hand, he says, a person should always seize the opportunity to do a mitzvah. She beschar laila achas shekadma bechira letzira, because the older daughter had relations with her father one night earlier than her younger sister. Zachsa became to Abba Dairis. What happened was that Zachs became Abba Dairis to Israel, that from the older daughter Rus Hamiya Avia came, and the daughter and the son of Rus, who was called Ovid, and he was the father of Yishai, the father of David. The Tzira had Nama Amnes that married Shlomo HaMelech, and they had Rechavam, who ultimately became king over Klal Yisrael. But that was four generations later. And the way the Mashal tells us to look at this Gemara is that the Gemara is teaching us how exact HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the way he does what he does. Because on one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave more of a reward to Ammon, that they shouldn't even be put into pain. Why? Because because the mother used a much more refined description than Mayav. So that's why she deserved more schar. On the other hand, we look at the flip side of this conversation. Mayav, her mother, was the one that had this proper intention a night before. And because of that, her descendants had monarchy in Klal Yisrael four generations before. Tanah Rabbanan continues the Gemara. The Pasuk says regarding a person who does an Aveira, B'shagig, and he has to bring a Karban Chatos. And the Pasuk says, V'm nefesh achas takta m'shkogami am ha'oretz, Ve'evi kabona siris izim tumim in the keva al chatosa shechata. Mi'ama oritz. From here we learn that only the Amma Oritz brings this type, the regular Jew brings this type of carbon, prat l'mashiach, that the Kohen Gadol doesn't bring the regular carbon chattis, as we have been learning. Ma'amma Oritz, prat l'nasi. And from here we know that the Nasi doesn't bring the regular carbon chattis. Ask the Gemara, what is the point in this limud? V'loi kvar yotsu. We've already learned this halacha. The pasuk says, the Mashiach lead them a par. The Mashiach brings a par as a carbon chattis. Nasi lead them besar. And we've learned that the Nasi brings a sawyer. So there's nothing new that this Bryce has taught us. Answers the Bryce to Shiyacho. We would think Mashiach al halam dovim shigis maisim evi par. When, as we've learned previously, does the Kohen Gadol bring the special par? Where first he issued an erroneous psak, that was followed with acting on that erroneous psak. If he just did something wrong, we would think that perhaps maybe kispasira, he brings the regular kamchatis like everyone else. Tamloy, but that's all we need the pasuk to teach us. Miam oritz prat l'mashiach, that the Kohen Gadol never brings a regular kamchatis. And Rashi says, therefore, in a situation where he did an Aveira without an incorrect psak preceding it, he doesn't bring any carbon at all. Ma'am Oritz, Prat Lenasi, that the Nasi never brings a regular carbon chatos. So ask the Gemara, Tainach Mashiach. We could understand the Mashiach, because the Mashiach is in a very unique situation. When he makes an incorrect psak, when he issues incorrect psak and follows up on it, that's when the halacha tells us that he brings his special carbon chattis. When on the other hand, he didn't issue incorrect psak, so we would think that he should bring a regular carbon chattis. No, he doesn't bring any carbon at all. So that's something that represents a very bechidish. But the Nasi always brings, ask the Gemara, Nasi b'shigias maiso de maisi. He only brings a carbon when he made an incorrect, when he did the wrong thing. The incorrect psak is not a consideration when we speak about the Nasi. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, why we need the special new limud by a Nasi? Answers the Gemara, Amar Azvid Mishmei de Rava, Hachem Maiskinen. This Bryce is speaking about a case, Kigon Sha'ocho, Kazayas Chalev, he ate of a Kazayas Chalev, Kishu Hedget, before he was Nasi, and then the Smana, and then he became Nasi, Vakach Noidaloi, and then he becomes aware of the Avera that he has done. Salkatat Chamina Naisa Kisbo Seira, we would think that he should bring a regular Karbon Chatos, because he did the Avera prior to him being the Nasi. Kamash Milan, that's what we learn here now, that is actually not the case, and he won't bring any carbon at all. Says the Gemara, this goes back to what we learned in our previous shiur, Hanicha Leman Le Shimon, this is understandable according to the opinion of Shimon, Dazel Basi Yedia, that when we come to decide what type of carbon should a person bring, so we learn that the carbon is determined by what he was at the time he became aware that he did the sin. And therefore here, since he became aware of he did this, the Avera, he was already a Nasi. So that's why he can't bring any more a regular carbon chattis. However, El Rabbanan does the Basa Chata, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, that followed the time when the sin was actually committed. So he committed the sin prior to him being a Nasi. If he committed the sin prior to being a Nasi, he should bring a regular Karma Chattis. Ma'ikla Meimer, El Amar Avzvid, B'Shmeid Rava, Hachum Ma'iskinen. We have to say that the Bryce is speaking about a case. Kigon Sha'akal Chatzi Chazayas Chelev Kishu Hedget. He ate a Chazayas of the Chelev while he was still a regular individual. And as we know, whenever we speak about something that may not be eaten. Whenever we speak about macholos asuris, the shear is a kazayis. And then the smana, and it became a nasi. And as all the rishonim point out, he ate the other half ishlima. He ate the other half when he was already nasi. And then he becomes aware of his avera. Sakadat chamina nitzdarif, that the two half kazaisim should combine the nice v'kis v'seira, and it should bring a regular karmachatas. Kamash one, that the nasi does not bring the regular karmachatas in this situation. And I saw Rabbi Yoshev Zitzal points out that the Rishonim, first of all, point out that these two had to been eaten toich kedei achilas pras. Because just like we said that the shear is always a kazayis, the shear also has to be eaten within the amount of time of kedei achilas pras. Says Rabbi Yoshev, whenever we speak about kedei achilas pras, we often discuss how long is kedei achilas pras. Anywhere from 2 minutes to 9 minutes. So Rabbi Yoshev Zitzal used to say, it's hard to say that it's such a small amount of time, because we have here a situation where he became Nasi, then he was a regular Jew, appointed to be Nasi, and then afterwards ate the second half of the kazayas, and that all had to be done kedei achilas pras. A kedei achilas pras must be a more significant amount of time. Barmine Rav Rav Nachman, Nesias Masha Tafsik. What is the halacha about the Nesias separating? Ask the Mar Hechidam exactly what do you mean with this question. Says the Gemara, Kigon Sha'ocha Khatzik Zayas Chel Kshohedit, Venismana, he became Nasi, V'Ovar, and then he was removed from his Nesias, V'Shlimai. So as the difference between this situation and the previous situation is that here he ate both chatzi kezaisim when he was a hedget, but in between he was a nasi. And the question is the fact that he was a nasi in between separate the two acts of achila? And of course, the Achroinim already asked the question, how is it possible that should have all been done b'chtei achilas pras? So Sora Deris explains, as we're going to learn in our shir, the halacha views a son of a nasi, a son of a melech becoming a melech, much differently than anyone else. He doesn't have to have so much of an appointment. So what happened here was that we have somebody who was the son of a melech, and he has a brother who also could be a melech. He was a regular Jew. As soon as he was appointed to be a regular Jew, something to be nasi, something immediately happened to him that he should lose that position. That Deris says either he became a metzora or he did something that caused that he should lose that position, So therefore, it all happened kedei achilas pras. Hasam, so says the Gemara, in the case that we spoke about a moment ago, hu d'lo mitzdarif, that's why the two acts of eating do not combine. Dach l'pag kishu hedjet, he ate half of the food when he was not a nasi. Pag kishu nasi, and the other half he ate as a nasi. And therefore, there's a difficulty in them combining. One, first he was a nasi, and now he was not a nasi. However, in our case, all of the eating took place while he was not a nasi. Therefore, mitzdarif, the two achilas could be combined. Or maybe the fact that he was nasi in between should separate the two achilas. And the Gemara wants to know, what will be the halacha? So I saw that the Sefer Yosha Hori makes an observation. He says that our Gemara is specifically speaking about a case with a Nasi that ate the two parts of the Chalev while he was a Hedget. But he says the Gemara does not point to a Kohen Hedget. He says that by Kohen Mashiach, that certainly when we speak about a Kohen Mashiach, the Gemara would never have a question that the two halves should combine. It says the Gemara, Tuf Shalei Mahada Amu Ulam Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara wants to answer from the following halacha, where the halacha teaches us, Echel Chalev, if somebody ate a Kazayas Chalev, and he becomes aware of the avery he did, and therefore the Hifrish, he separates an animal for carbon, and Chazabah, and then when Hamer, and he became a Mumer, and as we're going to learn, a Mumer does not bring a carbon, and then Chazabah, and then he did Tshuva. The halacha is that since in between he became disqualified from eating the carbon, that remains in place. So he says from here, the same should be, that just like somebody became a mumer in between, it separates, so too, the fact that he became a nasi in between should separate. Says the Gemara Hachi Hashta, how could you compare these two cases? Mumer, la basui carbon hu. A mumer is disqualified for being a carbon. And since the mumer is disqualified for being a carbon, that's why his carbon that he already designated becomes disqualified. Hi, when we speak about a nasi is not an individual who doesn't bring a carbon. He can bring a carbon, and might be a different carbon, but he's certainly an individual who can bring bring a carbon, and therefore we can't compare the two situations. The Miri says that the halach is that if somebody became a nasi in between, it still could combine. The Rambam disagrees, and he says that even though the Gemara just showed us that there's a difference between the nasi and the mumer, he says the way to understand the Gemara is that we don't have a raya from a mumer to a nasi. But just because we don't have a raya from a mumer to a nasi hasn't shown us what the halacha really is. Somebody ate a Safak Chalev while he's a Hejit, and then he was appointed to be Nasi, and then he becomes aware that he might have eaten non-kosher meat. Mahu, what is the halacha? We know that if somebody has a question if he ate something kosher or not kosher, he brings until he becomes certain, he brings an Ashim Tali. And in fact, it's interesting to point out that the Ashim Tali was more expensive than the regular Karban Chatas. And the reason the Mefarshim explained that that was the halacha is because people know that if Chas V'Shalom they did an Aveira, they need to do Tshuva. And therefore they bring, if the Karban Chatas is in order, they'll bring a Karban Chatas as the halacha requires. But if somebody doesn't really know if he did an Aveira, he doesn't have the same drive to do Tshuva. And since he doesn't have the same drive to do Tshuva, maybe he won't do it. And therefore, it's a much more complicated Tshuva. And what is meant by saying it's a more complicated Tshuva is that he has to really push himself, and that's why the Ashim Tali is more expensive. Says the Gemara, leave it, Rabban Dazal Basakhata, according to the opinion of the Chacham that we discussed previously, that we followed the time when the Aveira was committed, like the Bailach. There's no question. This individual did the Aveira as a Hedjit, as a Safak Aveira, and Maisi Ashim Tali, he has to bring an Ashim Tali. El Kita Bailach, leave it, Rav Shimon. The question is, according to Rav Shimon, where Rav Shimon has been telling us that when you find out about the Aveira, the halacha is, that's what's important, to determine what type of carbon do you bring. And since, what is going to be the halacha in this case? And the Gemara explains the question. Mid ishtani levade, ishtani lesofik, says the Gemara, according to Rav Shimon, now that he's a nasi, when he would do an Aveira, as we started our shiur today, he would bring a different type of carbon. He doesn't bring the kisba sira like a hedjet. And therefore, as far as the Safachet, he doesn't bring an Ashim Tali either on something that happened before he was appointed. Idoma, or perhaps we can make an argument, Ki Ishtani Levadi, Ishtani Karbon today. Where do we say that the Halacha has to consider the fact that he's not the same? Is because when we speak about a full-fledged carbon that he has to bring, for as we're learning, it's a different carbon. Aval hocha, d'loy shtana karban d'day. As far as this case where we're speaking about, it's the same oshem toli if you're a hedjit or if you're a nasi. Emalaisa oshem toli. So maybe here we should bring an oshem toli, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. Tana rabbanan. The Gemara mentioned a few moments ago about a mumer, that a mumer doesn't bring a carbon. So the pasuk says, Tana rabbanan explains the brisa. The pasuk says, v'im nefesh achas tachta b'shkoga ma'am ha'aretz, only an Amoritz, a regular Jew, brings a carbon chattis. Prat l'mumer, we don't accept kabonis from a mumer. That we learned this from the pasuk, Ashenasi yachtav asa achs mekometz Hashem elakov, Ashloi sana b'shkoga ve'oshem. Says Rav Shimon, the individual, Hashab b'diyasai, if the person would be aware that he did an Aveira, and that would stop him from doing the Aveira, that's the individual whose maybe carbon ashigasai brings a carbon when he did an Aveira b'shoigig. However, the individual whose lo b'shia, lo yishab b'diyasai, he would have continued doing the Aveira anyway. Such an individual, any maybe a carbon ashigasai, will not bring a carbon. And a mumer is such a individual. The fact that he knows he did an Aveira doesn't prevent him from doing it, and therefore he doesn't bring a carbon. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara just gave us two explanations from where we know that a mumer doesn't bring a carbon. So ask the Gemara, my benayu, both explanations are really teaching us the same thing, that a mumer doesn't bring a carbon. Answers the Gemara, Amra fununa mumer lechel chaylev, somebody who's a mumer, that he doesn't care about chaylev, but he ate dam. But maybe carbon al dam. Will he bring a carbon for eating dam? Ikemenayu is the basis of their machloikus. Mar, the Tanakama holds, kiven the mumer lechel chaylev, l'dam nami mumer. He says, the person is a mumer. And since the person is a mumer, he doesn't bring a carbon. And once he's a mumer for chaylev, he gets that status of being a mumer. However, Marsov, Rav Shimon's opinion is, l'dam miri shabdi yasuhu. He says that the critical factor is, if he became aware that he did an Aveira, would he stop doing it? And this individual, who doesn't eat dam, would stop doing what he's doing, and therefore, he would bring a carbon. Says the Gemara, how could you say that that's the mafkamina? For Rava Amar, ask the Gemara, hasn't Rava taught us? The Kula Alma, everybody's in agreement. Mumer lechel chaylev, lo yehava mumer l'dam. That just because he's a mumer for eating chaylev, doesn't make him a mumer for dam. Says the Gemara, elohocha, rather the Gemara says a different nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon. Ba'oichel nevela teyavet, that a person eats nevela l'teyavin, that there is no kosher meat available, so he eats non-kosher meat. And now, this individual, neschalvloi b'shum v'achloi, and what happened was that he got mixed up between a kosher piece of meat and non-kosher meat, and he ate the non-kosher meat. And now the question is, this is where they argue. Masava, kivin the tleyavin achel, since this person eats non-kosher meat, kivin the tleyavin achel amazing, he knows it's non-kosher and he still eats it, that's enough to make him into a mumer. Well, Masava, of Shimon's opinion is, kivin the ilo ashkel da tera, since he still is the type of individual that when kosher meat is available, lo yochel de sura, he won't eat non-kosher meat, that's enough to say that he's lav mumeru, that is not a mumer. Tana rabbanan, ochel chaylev. So the brisa says, if somebody eats chaylev, that is a mumer. Vei is a mumer. Ochel nevelus v'trefus, shkotsev remoshim, shosu yayin nesach, yudoymer, afalavish klaim, even the individual who wears klaim. And the Gemara analyzes this brisa. Amamar, the brisa just taught us, ochel chaylev, if somebody eats chaylev b'mezid, zeh mumer. Zeh is a mumer oichel nevelus. Ask the Gemara, my kamar, how do we understand what the Brisa is saying? The Brisa says that if somebody eats nevelus, is a mumer, and then the Brisa gives us different examples. Answers the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Brisa. Amr Rabba Babachana Amr Rabbi Yochanan Hachkamer Achal Chelutiv El Oven. He eats chelav when there's no kosher meat available. He'll eat non-kosher meat. That is a mumer. But somebody who eats lahachis, that means even if kosher meat is available, he'll still pick and choose the non-kosher meat. He's even worse. Harezu tzedaki. He's in the category of a tzedaki. And the Braisa continues to teach us. Ve'ez a mumer the stomach tzedaki. Who is the mumer that has the status of a tzedaki? Have a oimer. So the Braisa says, oichon avel v'tzraifa, shkotzim v'remoshim. These are all different types of foods that are repugnant. And why would somebody eat these type of foods? And therefore, the fact that he ate these types of food, that makes him into a tzedaki. So I saw the Rishonim ask, a nevela, in those days, was an animal that died and started to spoil, and somebody eating that is clearly a mumer. But a treifa is an animal that wasn't well. If the animal wasn't well, what makes it miut? Mius. So I saw that the treifa that we're speaking about here is a treifa that the animal was sick. An animal was sick, nobody would want to eat after it died. This person that ate from it is clearly a mumer lahachis, and that's why he's in a much worse situation. Continues the braisa. Shasa yai nesach. If he drank wine that was poured in front of a dezara, he too is a tzedaki. Says the Tosfos Rosh. So when we spoke a moment ago about nevela and treifa, we could understand that the nevela and treifa is a food that's repugnant. And if you ate it, it must be just because you're tzedaki. But what's repugnant about a yayin nesach that should make you into tzedaki? So Tosfos Rosh, the Karen Ira explains, because anything that he on a regular basis eats, drinks something like yayin nesach. Yes, he doesn't care. He's latayoven. But the fact that he drinks this on such a regular basis, says the Karen Ira, that makes him tzedaki. Says the Gemara of Yosef Yehudaimer, afalavish klayim. Somebody who wears klayim. And Rashi says that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's comments aren't on the Sefer the Braisa, or putting loivish klayim into the same category of oichel nevel for treifa. Rather, it's going back to the beginning of the Braisa, that somebody who eats a chel of a tayoven is a mumer, says Rabbi Yosef, that somebody who wears klayim is also a mumer. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. However, the Rama explains that Rabbi Yosef is referring to the Sefer of the Braisa. And Rabbi Yosi is including who is in the category of a tzedaki. It says, Rabbi Yosi, somebody who wears klayim. Because wearing a garment that's klayim is nothing, there's no reason to wear a garment that's klayim where you could equally wear a garment that's not klayim. Therefore, he calls him a tzedaki. Says the Gemara, what is the machloikis when we speak about klayim? My benayu, what is the basis of the machlokes when we speak about klayim? Says the Gemara, ikka benayu, klayim derabonim. What would be if somebody wears klayim, which is only klayim midrabonim? Marsova, Tanakam's opinion is, the midraisa of a mumer, if somebody who's over issa deraisa of a mumer, but somebody who's over an issa derabonim, loy have a mumer. Or Marsova, whereas the opinion of Rabbi Yossi is that klayim, the kivan, the mefarsim, Masuri, klayim is something that everybody knows about, and therefore, filo the rabbanon, even if he's over the rabbanon, he's still going to be a mumer. Says the Gemara, pligiba Rav Acha Ravina, charama l'teyovan. If somebody ate non-kosher meat l'teyovan, he's mumer. If he ate l'hachis to show that he doesn't care, he's a tzedaki. The Charamar, the other opinion holds, chel l'chachis, even if he eats a l'chachis, he's a mumer. Alei is a tzedaki. Who is considered tzedaki? Kol ayvarev k'chavim. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, we learned in a braisa, echel parash echad, ayit eshechad. If you ate one worm, harezama mumer. Ask the Gemara, that, in other words, it's something that nobody wants to eat, and he only ate it lahachis. Ask the Gemara for hocha. We clearly see that he's eating lahachis, and yet he's called the karle mumar and not a tzedaki. Says the Gemara, hasan dama etam tam di sura. This is referring to a person that didn't really eat it lahachis. What he wanted to do was he wanted to take a taste, and therefore, since he wanted to take a taste, that says that he's only a mumer, but not somebody. He won't be a tzedaki. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Rashi differentiates if he did it once or he does it on a regular basis. The Ramah has a different approach. The Ramah says it depends what he says as he eats it. If he says, I'm eating it because I just want to taste it, he'll be a mumer. But if he says, I'm eating it because I want to show that I don't care, that is the individual who is considered a tzedaki. Beis Nasi, so the Mishnah says, who is considered a Nasi Zemelech? Teaches us the Brayso Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, Asher Nasi Yechta Pasuk, we discussed extensively in our previous year. Yochel Nasi Shevet K'Nachshon Ben Aminadav. We think somebody who's a Nasi of a Shevet, like Nachshon Ben Aminadav, is considered a Nasi. Tamaloymer, the Pasuk says, V'asa Achz V'kal Mitzvah Hashem Alakav. L'Halano Oymer, when the Pasuk speaks about a Melech, L'man Liyuma Liras Hashem Alakav. Ma'alahalan Shein Gabav El Hashem Alakav. When we speak over there about the Melech, we speak about an individual who has nobody over him besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Af Nasi, so too, when we speak about the Nasi, who is the Nasi? An individual, Shein Alav Agabav El Hashem Alakav. Somebody who has nobody over him besides, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Karen Oira says that there's going to be a difference between when there's a melech in Klal Yisrael and there is no melech in Klal Yisrael. He says, when there's a melech in Klal Yisrael, says the Karen Oira, the melech brings the carbon of the Nasi, and the Nasi of the Shvatim don't bring a carbon. But he explains that when there's a time in Klal Yisrael where there is no melech, but the Shvatim have Nasiim, at such a time, he says that the Nasi of each Shevet would bring the carbon of a Nasi. Ask the Gemara, Baimene Rebbe Mrebchia. So Rebbe asked Mrebchia, Kigoyen Ani, I was the Nasi in Yisrael, Ma Besoyer. What will be the halacha regarding my, what type of carbon I bring? And it's interesting to point out that even though Rebbe was the Rebbe of Mrebchia, still, since Mrebchia was such a profound Talmud Chacham, Rebbe would ask him questions. And it's important to learn from here that just because you're the Rebbe doesn't mean that you can't ask a question. So, of course, the Mefarshim, in understanding this Gemara, need to understand in the time of Rebbe, there was no Beis HaMikdash anymore. And there were no Kabbanis anymore. So why is it important for him to know what carbon does he bring? So the son of the Gemara, the Be'er Sheva explains that, the Chidah explains that it was relevant regarding when we say Kabbalas every morning, and when somebody brings the Karma Chata, when somebody says the parasha of the Karma Chatas, he says, Im Hischayafti, that if I'm obligated to bring a Karma Chatas, this should be the carbon that I'm bringing. That if I, this saying about the parish of Karmel Chatas should be like I brought the Karmel Chatas. So by the other Kabbanis explains the Chidah, you could certainly say whatever you want, because the other Kabbanis, Oilo Shlomim, can be brought ben Nadava. But this carbon can't be brought as a Nadava, and that's why you can't say it unless Karmel Chatas can only be brought if you're Mechuyiv. And now you need to know who are you as far as Kabbanis if you're a Nasi. Ace Elmalei, Shabchia said to Rebbe, you can't be a Navi because Tzaraschav Bavel. There is the Rish Goyla in Bavel who is above you. Esrei asked the Gemara, so Rebbe asked Rav Chiya, the Braisa teaches us, Malch Yisrael, Malch Beis David, Elu Mevim Latzmam, Ve'elu Mevim Ba'atzmam, in the time that there was a Melech on Yisrael, and there was a Melech on Beis David, everybody brought, every Melech brought their own Karban Nasi. Amalei, says the Gemara, in such a situation, like Kaifa Hadadi, the Melech of Yisrael and the Melech of Beis David were not subservient to each other. They were totally independent. However, Hacha, Anan Kafinal of the day, since we are subservient to the one, and that's the Nasi, and that's Yisrael, is subservient to the one in Bavo, since he's subservient, so that's why he can't bring his own carbon musaf and his own carbon nasi. There's a discussion in Rishonim that on one hand the Nasim and Eretz Yisrael were greater Talmid Chachamim. On the other hand, the Nasim and Bavel had more authority. And that's what the Gemara's question is. Who is the one that is stronger? Rav Safra Masna Hachi. Rav Safra had the discussion in the following way. Bamine Rebbe Rav Chiya, Kigoyin Ani, Maus, Mao Besoyer, what if the Beis Hamikdash was standing? What carbon would I bring? Amalei hasam shevet hachem mechaykik. He says the nasi in Bavel has more authority, and the nasi in Eretz Yisrael is the bigger Talmud Chacham. But Tanya lo yasu shevet miYehuda zeh roish koyel shevet Bavel shiroides Yisrael b'maka. He has more authority, and this refers to the descendants of Hillel, Shemalam ben Torah Yisrael, Barabim, that taught Klal Yisrael Torah, and that's their strength. It says the Mishnah Ezer Mashiach, when we speak about the Kohen Mashiach, we've discussed so many times in our Shiurim about the special Kabbonis that the Kohen Gadol brings, but the Torah, when it speaks about that individual, says he's the Kohen HaMashiach. So says the Gemara, what says the Mishnah, who is in the category of the Kohen HaMashiach? So says the Mishnah, HaMashiach B'Shem HaMashka. As we know, the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be anointed with the special Shem HaMashka, which we're going to be speaking about in our Shir. But during different periods in Klal Yisrael, where they no longer, as we're also going to speak about, they didn't have the Shemana Mishka anymore. And when they didn't have the Shemana Mishka anymore, they just made the Kohen Gadol Meruba Begodim by wearing the special big dekun of the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, only the Kohen Gadol, who is Kohen Gadol because he was anointed with the Shemana Mishka, has the special halacha of the Kohen Mashiach, V'loi HaMeruba Begodim. Ein, says the Mishnah, Ein Bein Kohen HaMashiach V'Shemana Mishka L'Meruba Begodim. There really is no significant halachic difference between these two Kohanim Gedolim, El Par Bar Kol Mitzvos. The special power that the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Mashiach, brings when he does an Aveira, that power, and the Kohen Meruba Begodim brings a regular Karban Chatas. Vein Bein Kohen HaMashamish, the Kohen Sh'ovar. There's no difference between a Kohen who is acting as the Kohen Gadol versus the Kohen who was removed from his position. Ella Par b'Yom Kippurim, only the par that's brought on Yom Kippurim, that only the Kohen Gadol who's actually doing the Avodah brings that par, special par Yom Kippur, and brings the Asir Sefer, which spoke about previously, that every day the Kohen Gadol would bring a carbon Asir Sefer, Machtzis Ben Abayim, half in the morning and half in the afternoon. And that also is only brought by the acting Kohen Gadol. And Rashi explains, because we can't bring two. And since we can't bring two, we only bring, only the acting Kohen Gadol is the one that brings it. Zevezeh Shavim, Bavoidus Yom Kippurim. Both of them Keduri Avoid on Yom Kippur. Mitzuvim al Psula. Both of them are obligated that they can only marry a Psula and not a woman who's a bula, who was married, who had relations previously, Vasurma Almana, both of them may not marry an Almana, They may not become tamei when one of their relatives pass away. They're not allowed to let their hair grow. They're not allowed to tear their clothing. When they pass away, the halacha is that any ritzeach that ran to their miklat is free. Tanabanan, Shemar Mishka Shasa Moshe b'Midbar, the Shemar Mishka the Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar, the Be'er Sheva points out that the word b'Midbar is sort of superfluous, because as we're learning, there was only one Shemar Mishka made. The point here is to teach us why, as we're going to learn, were there so many nisim with the Shemar Mishka, and that's why the Gemara says that there were so many nisim, because it was only manufactured once. It was manufactured in the Midbar. Hashalkim asa'ikrim, what they would do was that they would take the herbs and the spices that they made the Shemar Mishka, they would take them, they would mix them together with olive oil, and they would first cook them. Rabbi Yossi, it's impossible to say that they were cooked in the oil. Why? Because we take all the ingredients and we smear them with the oil. There certainly isn't enough oil. And certainly here, where we're going to cook the ingredients in that oil, so not only we're going to have a lot of absorption into those ingredients, and by cooking things, part of the oil will get absorbed into the pot, part will evaporate. What they would do is they would take all the ingredients, says Rabbi Yossi, and soak them in water so that they should not be able to absorb that much. And then, Meitzef Alav HaShemen, they would pour the oil on top of these ingredients, and Koil HaSareach, and that would help, that's how the oil would get the fragrance of the ingredients, the kapchoi, and then they would right away skim it off the oil from all the other ingredients, and that was the Shemar Mishka. Amale Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yossi that what are you so bothered with? The Nais Echad Nas B'Shemar Mishka? Was there only one Nais with the Shemar Mishka? V'loi T'chilosoi Shnei Masalugin. We begin with Shnei Asalugim. V'menayim Nimshach HaMishka V'Kelev. All of that oil was used to anoint the Mishkan and all the Kelei Mishkan. Aaron Abanov, Kol Shivus Yemluim. Aaron and his children had this oil smeared on them all for this during the Shivus Yemei HaMluim. And Kulay Kayim Lasalavai. And it'll all be still in place when Mashiach comes. Shenema Shema Mishka Zakodesh Yizel Dereseichem. It will be over here forever. So Rabbi Yehuda's point is very well taken. So why does Rabbi Yossi have to say that this is the way it was manufactured? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained, the Mitzvah Eisen explains that we always want to have as little nisim as possible. And since we always want to have as few nisim as possible, that's why it was manufactured this way, that it's according to Rabbi Yossi, which minimizes the amount of nisim. So ask the Miriamis, if that's the case, that we always want to minimize the amount of nisim, so ask the Miriamis, we shouldn't have any nis. And what we should have had is that every time we need more Shemar HaMishka, we should just have more Shemar HaMishka produced. Says to that the Miriamis, that the first Shemar HaMishka that was used, which was used as we're learning now, but which was manufactured by Moshe Rabbeinu, was used in the Mishkan, was infused with a very high level of Kedusha. And we always want to take something that has such a high level of Kedusha and keep it in Klal Yisrael. Tanya Idach, the Pasuk says, V'yikach Moshe, Hashemar HaMishka, V'yimshach HaMishkan V'skol HaShabai, V'yudah Hashemar HaMishka Shasa Moshe B'Midbar, the Shemar HaMishka that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar, Kam Nisim Nasabam B'Tchila Tzoyf, it had so many Nisim from beginning to end. T'chilasa L'Haya El Shnei Masa Lugim, we only started with 12 Lugim. Ru Kam Yorah B'Las, look at how much the pot absorbs when you cut in it. The kama ikrim b'olim, how much the ingredients absorb when you put the oil on top of it. The kama or sarif, how much evaporation we have. And yet, by nimshach hamishkan v'kelov, Aaron Abanov, kol shivas yimei meluim, or by nimshach kohanim gedolim malachim for all future generations. Says the Gemara. Even if you have a kohen gadol who's the son of a kohen gadol, ton meshicha. He has to have meshicha. Shai meshchim melech ben melech. The Gemara differentiates that a kohen gadol ben kohen gadol doesn't requires meshicha, whereas the melech ben melech doesn't require meshicha. And the Miri explains because the melucha goes beirusha. And since it goes by Yerusha, so therefore the Melech ben Melech doesn't need, unless the special circumstances that we're going to discuss, doesn't need Mashiach. The Kahuna Gedaila doesn't go by Yerusha, and therefore Mashiach is required. Vim Taima, so therefore you will ask, Meneim Amashka Shleima, why did they have to do Mashiach on Shleima if he was a Melech ben Melech? Says the Gemara, my name Machel Kaiser Shal Adonio. Adonio was claiming that he should be king. So to show that Shlomo Melech is king, that's why they did Mashiach. Es Yoyosh, the simile that did Mashiach on Yoyosh, even though he was the son of Achaziah, Memnei Asalia, his grandmother, who wanted to run the country, the Melech Achaz, and then the same thing, Yachiyos, Nei Yoyakim Shoy Golman, which they shunned, we're going to learn. He was older, and therefore, there was a question that he should be king, and to show that he's king, that's why they did Mashiach. Vaisi Shemin continues the Braisa, Kaim Lasulavi will be here, Lasulavi Shnemar, Shemin Mishkan Kodesh Yezel Lila Dereisechem, Zeh is Begmakish Neimas Lugim Hayu, the 12 Lugim we started will remain. Amamar, says the Gemara we just learned in the Braisa, that feel kain gadol ben kain gadol tam Mashiacha. Menolon, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Vakaira Mashiach tachta mibonav. Name a crow, it would be adequate that the Pasuk should say, Vakaira mitachta mibonav. Why does the Pasuk add the word HaMashiach? Kamashmalon, the bon of the kain gadol, when the kain gadol, who's the son of a kain gadol, he have a Mashiach, have a kain gadol. If he was anointed, he'll be kain gadol. The loy loy have a kohen gadol, and of course the mafarshim point out that doesn't mean, says the Karen Ira, that somebody who didn't have mashicha cannot be a kohen gadol. We've been learning that a merubah begadim can be a kohen gadol. Rather, the way to understand is that if the shemen hamishka is available, that's the way to point him to be kohen gadol. Amamar vein moishchin melech b'melech, but a melech b'melech we don't make mashicha. Says the Gemara Menolam, where do we know that halacha from? Says the Gemara Amar Vach, but Yaakov the Ksiv, Leman Yaruch Yomam Amalachtoi. From there we see Yerusha Lechem, that the Melucha is Yerusha, and since the Melucha is Yerusha, he doesn't have to have his own Mashiach. But ask the Gemara Menolam, however, from where do we know the Kiyika Machloikis, that if there is a Machloikis by Mashiach, the Lav is called the boy Malchus, Moiris Malchus B'nai, and we don't say that he just becomes automatically Melech. Amar Papa Amakro, who abana b'kerav Yisrael. Does man shishalom be Yisrael? When everybody is satisfied, then Karina b'yehu abanav, then his son becomes Melech without Mashiach. But if there's somebody disputing it, then it doesn't happen automatically. Tana, af ye ben nimshi lo nimshach, she also had Mashiach El Mamnei Machal Kaisai Shal Yoram. What happened is that the Navi teaches us that Elisha sent a Shlir to Yei Ben Nimshi to be the Melech instead of Yoram Ben Achav, and because the whole family of Achav was supposed to be wiped out, and that's why he became Hatam Mashiach. Says the Gemara, but there should be another reason why he had to have Mashiach. But typically, Mishum Darishan, who he was the first in the line. Only a Melech ben Melech doesn't have Mashiach, but he wasn't a Melech ben Melech. Answers the Gemara, Chsuri Mechsuri. Vaktani. Malchei beis David Meshuchim. The Malchei of beis David have Meshicha. Malchei Yisrael a Meshuchim. Menolon. How do we know that? Loch Amrava Makra. Kum Meshchei Kuzeh. Zeta Meshicha. Malchei beis David require Meshicha. Vein Acher. But somebody who's not from Malchei beis David don't require Meshicha. There is a discussion already amongst the Rishonim if Malchei, if Shaul, who was the first melech, that he had Mashiach. On one hand, he wasn't from Malchei Beis David. On the other hand, it was before the whole concept of Malchus Beis David was in place. And since it was before they were in place, maybe that's why he should be considered Mashiach. The Shemesh Chochma says, the Pasuk says, V'Malchei, says the Mashiach Chochma, only somebody who's going to be a melech for future generations, which are the Malchei Beis David, they're the ones that have Mashiach. But the ones who are not going to be for future generations, they don't have Mashiach. Amar, Afiyeh ben Nimshi lo Nimshach el b'nei Mechosh Shayorim. Says the Gemara, a question. The Shemen is Shemen Kodesh, and we know that the halacha is that we're not allowed to use it for any other purpose. So why is it permissible to use it to make him, to anoint him, if he's really not supposed to have Mashiach? So I saw that the Mefarshim asked, why would this be considered Me'ilah? Me'ilah is when you take something and you use it. But here, we see that the Shemen HaMishka never got depleted. So the Mefarshim answer that what happened was that every time they used the oil, it got depleted, and then immediately got replaced. But since it got immediately depleted, that's why it's considered Mila. Answers the Gemara. They did not do the Mashiach with the real Shemen HaMishka. Kedamra, Papa, Bafas Medachia. They used a type of oil. Achnami Bafas Yedachma. Says the Gemara, we learned that Yoichaz, the son of Yeshio, they did Shemen HaMishka, even though he was the son of a king. Why? Yoyachim Shere Golem Menesh Deishonim. Yoyachim was 2 years older than him. Ask the Gemara, Mi Koshish Menei, was Yoyachim older than Yoichaz? Ask them, let's learn the Pasuk of Ksiv. The Pasuk says, "Bnei Yeshua have a choy Yochanan, Hasheni Yochim, Hashlishi Tzidkiyo, Harvi Shalom." Vam Rav Yochanan, who Shalom, who Tzidkiyo, who Yochanan, who Yochis. Yochanan, who's mentioned in the Pasuk, he was Yochis. And he, Yochis, was the oldest son. So therefore, why is there a problem? Answers the Malayim, Yoyakim Kashish. Yoyakim was older than Yochis. Omai, why is Yochis called Bechor? Because he was Bechor Lamachis. He was the first of the brothers. He was the first of the brothers of the king, to be king. Vimim Malchus Utra Mekami Kashishi. But ask the Gemara, is that appropriate that the younger brother should be king before the other older brother? Vixivas Malacha Nasla Yoyakim Kiwa Bechor. Says the Gemara, Yoram and Malam Makam Avaisuvav. Yoram was more fitting. He was a tzaddik like his forefathers. Yoram, Labam Malam Makam Avaisuv, and therefore he wasn't appointed king. Amar Mar, says the Gemara, we just learned, we learned who Shalom Utsutkiyah, who Yoram Achiyaz. Says the Gemara, so it means that there were only two. Says the Gemara, for chad chad kachoshe, the pasuk mentions each one separately. The ksiv hashlishi tzidkiyo or vi shalom, or my shlishi, doesn't shlishi mean shlishi ribonim, or my revius, says the Gemara, my revius, revius malchus, he was the fourth of these people to be king. The mekara mal yachiyos, upsoif yayakim, upsoif yachanya, upsoif tzidkiyo, the brother of Yoyachas and Yoyakim. Here we see that only somebody who's worthy should be appointed as a Yoyrish. There's a very big discussion amongst the Paiskim. A, where does Yerusha apply? Does Yerusha apply only by Melech, or does it apply by all positions? And in which positions do we look at the person's qualification, not just that he's a Yorish, or in which position is not? And the third question is, when we speak about Yerusha, is Yerusha only applicable after somebody passes away? That's when Yerusha, or is even, let's say somebody had a position and he wants to retire, does the halacha of Yerusha apply that he could already appoint his son to take over his position?